The scripture for this evening's lesson is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, and in the Pew Bibles, it's page 51. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive.
Good evening.
On last month, we had a national day of Thanksgiving. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to those commentators and those talk shows where everyone starts to think about the things for which they are thankful. And they start to express those things on the air. And you listen to them, and they go around the room, if you will, through the panel, and they talk about whether you're talking about football and the sports commentators or talk shows, and they start to talk about the things for which they're thankful. And they say all these things, you know, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, and on and on. And then I got interested in A-lister actors and all this kind of thing. So I pulled on YouTube, and I asked the question, things for which A-lister actors and singers and all of those folks are thankful for. So they are interviewing these people and they're talking about the things for which they're thankful. But the thing that I noticed was absent. They said a lot of good things. Some were good, some not so good. But for the most part, you know, things you expect. Well, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful, you know, for friends. And I'm thankful, you know, for this and that. And some of them were thankful for the shows that they were about to, you know, participate in and all that kind of thing. And it got me to thinking, because the thing I noticed that wasn't present was they never would really evoke the name of God. They talked about being thankful for certain things, but they never evoked the name of the one to whom they should be thankful. And I paid attention to that. I notice on the shows, they do the same thing. They talk about all the things they're thankful for, but they never say the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and who makes this possible and all. Never heard those kind of things and never heard God's name spoken, but they are thankful. And it kind of interested me that God is responsible for so many of those things for which they are thankful, but yet they would not give him his due. And so I wrote a sermon then in reference to that, and I told our congregation when I preached it that God is going to get his due today. And we are going to evoke his name. And we're going to not only talk about the things for which we should be thankful, but we're going to also talk about the things, we're going to also give credit to the one to whom we should be thankful. And then I thought about it again. I said, then there is a certain segment of our society who will evoke God's name, who will talk about God, and they will say all the things for which they're thankful, and they'll give God his due. They'll give God the credit, and they will get up and they will say it in front of everybody. First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, I wouldn't be able to do all this. And these are the folks that shouldn't be thanking him. And so that prompted me to write this sermon. And the title of this sermon is, God Meant It For Good. God Meant It For Good. We have those who speak God's name and they talk about all the things for which they are thankful. They thank him and they say it in a bold manner. And it's the reason for this is because people say that God is responsible for their talents. You hear that a lot in the world today. Whether or not it's singing, you know, God is responsible. God has given me this ability to sing. God is responsible. He has given me my athleticism. God is responsible. He's given me my superior intelligence. God has given me my musical abilities, my creative writing skills, my acting, the ability to act. And all of these things, God has given me all the privileges that I enjoy. God has given me this various platform that I have. And so therefore, people say God has given, and they thank God for it. And what this means is that since God is responsible for my abilities, for all my skills and all of these things, that I can lay at his feet and I will get up proudly and say it in front of anyone, that then God is supportive of me in the way that I use it. And that's where the world has lost its mind. The world tends to be seriously flawed in their thinking when it comes to God. Not only that, they are seriously flawed when it comes to their thinking in reference to God's word, his scripture. And so this evening, as we talk about God meant it for good, I wanted to take this from the life of Joseph. And Joseph had been sent through a horrible ordeal because his brothers, in their jealousy, decided to sell him into slavery. First, they thought to kill him, and then they thought better of it. One of the brothers rescued him, and they thought that it would be better to throw him in a hole and then sell him to the ones who were coming through that area. So Joseph gets sold into slavery, and he goes through this horrific ordeal. You know the story of Joseph. And as we get to the end of this situation, when Israel is finally brought into Egypt and their life is preserved, Jacob finally dies. And then those brothers began to be sorry. And they began to think that Joseph, now that the father is dead, is going to take vengeance on them. So they go to Joseph, and Joseph then comforts them. And he says what you heard in your scripture reading in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20. But he comforts them, but he also says something, or he expresses a truth concerning God. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now here's the point. Whatever you believe that God has given you, whatever gift, whatever quality, whatever skill, whatever feature, whatever opportunity, whatever platform, whatever intelligence, whatever you believe that God has given you, this is what you ought to know and understand and appreciate, that God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Now, how do I know that? Well, because of God's character. You see, the Bible declares for us, as we learn about God, that God is good. When you read Genesis chapter 1, you will read this phrase 6 times. God saw that it was good. He wasn't making anything bad, because everything he made would agree with his character. In Genesis chapter 2:18, the Bible says it is not good that man should be alone. And so when God saw something that he deemed was not good, he didn't make anything evil. But when he looked at man and he looked at his situation, and man is naming the animals and realized that there's not one for him, God said it's not good that man should be alone, and I will make it help meet for him. And so the institution of marriage was born. In other words, when God said it's not good that he should be alone, God fixed the situation and made it good. And you and I still to this day enjoy the institution of marriage. It's good. The world notwithstanding, in the way that they treat marriage. If anyone has a bad marriage, it's not because God didn't do something good. It's because then you have done something evil with what God gave you. But God meant it for good. When you consider all that the Bible says to us in reference to God, it declares that God is good. Consider the psalmist in Psalm 25 and verse number 8. Good and upright, the Bible says, is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Well, because God is not only good, but he is also equal. He is just in his dealings, and therefore he can be trusted to guide and lead those who are astray. He can be trusted to guide and lead those in the right way who come to him. God is good. And Psalm 34 and verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 86 and verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He is essentially and independently good in himself, and also he is good to others, and we are recipients of that goodness. Psalm 100 and verse number 5, for the Lord is good. Psalm 107 and verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 135 and verse number 3. Praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good. My friends, when you get done with it on and on and on, the Bible declares that God is good. He is incapable of doing anything bad because he is good. And the Bible continuously tells us that. Now, that makes a big difference when you decide to do something evil and then thank God for it. God cannot be in any way responsible for anything evil. In fact, James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then, my friends, we turn around and act like God did something improper when it's impossible for him to do that because his nature is good. When Jesus was asked a question, he made a statement in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 16 and verse number 17. And the rich young ruler came running to Jesus and he called him good. Jesus responded this way. He said, and why callest thou me good? He said, for there is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. The young man says, good master. Jesus wanted him to understand something. There is no one good but one. You know what Jesus ought to know? Because he is that one. He is that one. And young man, if you're calling me good, you need to understand something. There's none good but one. And if you recognize that I am good, then guess what you also ought to recognize? That I am also God. So by Jesus answering and not reproving the man for saying that he was good, Jesus was saying that he is God. When Jehovah even spoke concerning himself, Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 6, the Bible says that the Lord God passed by him and proclaimed, The Lord, God merciful and gracious and long suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. When God even spoke concerning himself, he could not deny that he is good. Now, my friends, once we establish that, there is nothing that is evil, nothing that is bad, nothing that is wayward, nothing that is wrong can be laid at the feet of God because God is good. Let me give you some example of some things that God has given. God has given man a heart. He's given him a mind. Now God is responsible. If you want to thank God for your mind, you ought to thank him because he gave it to you. You want to thank God for your heart? He certainly gave it to you. But you know what you can do with that mind? You can take that mind and you can mind the wrong things. And that's exactly what Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 19 when he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. God gave you a mind. And you turn around and utilize it to mind earthly things. That means the heart is set on earthly things. That means the heart is set on material things. That means that people live for these things. This is what they think about. This is what they pursue. This is what they want to acquire. This is the greatest good to all of these people who mind earthly things. Whose God is their belly, their only concern about fulfilling their gratification. They are thrill seeking and all these kinds of things. This is the mind God gave you, and this is what you intended to utilize your mind on it. So you utilize what God gave you for something that is not going to last, for something that is temporary, for something that cannot sustain you, something that cannot help you beyond this life. And yet God has revealed to us in his word that we are going somewhere when this life is over, and that we ought to use our minds to the utmost in order to make preparation for that place. Wow. Paul gave us some things on which we should think. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Paul says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. God gave you a mind, but do you not know that you can use your mind for those things, or you could use your mind for wicked imaginations? And Proverbs in chapter 6 and verse number 18, Solomon writes that a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations is the one that God hates. And Jesus, when talking about the heart and answering the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, 20 through 22, he says that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of a man that defiles him. And then he talks about all of the things that come out from the heart. And he says it is those things that end up defiling the man. And therefore, my friends, God gave us great advice when that wise preacher wrote in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23 that we should keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Is that not what Jesus is saying in Mark chapter 7, 20 through 22? In other words, what springs out of that heart, my friend, that is what life is made of. It starts internally and then it manifests itself externally. And so you have to take care of the spring. So what did God say? Put a guard on it. You protect your heart. You guard your heart. You don't let things get into your heart. Why? Because life issues forth from that mind, from that heart. God gave it to you. And when he gave it to you, my friends, he meant it for good. He meant it for good. This heart is pictured as a fountain, and out of it flows the issues of life. So God is saying, if you are going to be successful in keeping your spring from being corrupted at the fountainhead, you better put a guard on it, because God meant it for good. Don't thank him if you utilize it for evil. God gave you a tongue, but you can use it to speak lies. You can use it to injure others. You can use it to sow discord. These are the things, again, that God is on record as saying he hates. He hates those who sow discord among brethren. Let me show you a few things. Let me read a few scriptures with you. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28. This is a chance for us to slow down just a little bit, because I don't usually let you read. We just move on through the information. But this time we can read. Can we read, Greg? I like your name too, Greg, by the way. That's a wonderful name you have there. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and notice verse number 28. Now, in the King James, I typically memorize from there. The Bible says a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separated chief friends. Now, a froward man, that word froward means perverse, evil, wicked. It's generally a curvature of the spine is where this word originates, kind of the etymology of the word, a curvature of the spine, which means a person is crooked from the beginning. And so he's a crooked, perverse individual. And what does a crooked and perverse individual do? They sow strife. They whisper. They backbite. They talk about people behind their backs. They'll take someone who's been long-standing friends and they'll get in the middle of them and they will create suspicion. Look with me, if you will, at something else that's characteristic of these kind of people. Look at chapter 17, Proverbs 17, and notice verse number 9. I'll show you something else that's characteristic of these kind of people. How does it read? Have mercy. So here's what they do. They repeat a matter. Somebody tells you something, and then you go and tell someone else something. They tell you something about someone. You go and tell that person what they said about them. You repeat a matter. And then those friends, their friendship is threatened. Now, it wouldn't make any sense for someone to use their tongue that God has given them to separate friends, to destroy friendships through gossip, through lies, through withholding part of the truth, create a mess, destroy those friendships, and then turn around and say, I want to thank God for giving me the ability to do that. Now, doesn't that sound insane? God gave you a tongue, but he meant it for good. How do we know? Because he is good. He's incapable of evil. You turn around and use that tongue for evil, he does not support you in the misuse of what he gave you. James dedicated an entire section to this very thing when we think about James chapter 3 and the misuse of the tongue. And James says, with that same tongue, James chapter 3, 9 and 10, he said, we will bless God and then we will curse men who are made after the similitude of God. He said, my brethren, these things ought not to be. And then he says, this goes against nature, because a fountain does not bring forth sweet water and bitter at the same time. So how is it that you are using your tongue to curse, to bless God, and then curse men who are made in the image of God? So it makes no sense for one to use his tongue to rap or sing, come up with wicked lyrics, lyrics that demean women. Isn't that what many rappers do? Don't they demean women? Don't they promote and glorify murder and killing and all of those kind of things? Rock stars who use satanic chants, giving messages endorsing suicide. Pop stars who create and teach and promote alternate lifestyles. I don't really know what Lady Gaga and all these folks are talking about, but I heard a song, You Were Born That Way. All these kind of things. And you promote all of this stuff, and then soon as there's an award show, these folks go up and then they get on the platform and they say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Why are you thanking him? You could say, well, God gave me the mind. God gave me the intelligence. Yes, you could say that God gave it to you. God gave me the tongue and the ability to use it. Yes, you could say God gave it to you. But here's what you need to understand. God meant it for good, and you have utilized it for evil. God ought not to be thanked for things like that. God gave you a will, but yet some people have used their will to become willful, obstinate, and disobedient, even to the point where they bring those wills into religion. Colossians 2:23. And they will use their will for will worship. They'll worship any way they desire. And some use their wills for disobedience, and therefore they become the children of it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. It wouldn't make any sense, my friends, to become willful, obstinate, disobedient, and then thank God for the ability to do it because he gave you a will. These things are misplaced. They are misguided. So I want you to think about that the next time you see some kind of award show, and think about some of the things that these people have written. Some of these folks are super intelligent. You think about some of the things that they can put together, the creative skills that they have, and boy, what they could have done if they had utilized what God gave them in the right way. Instead, they decided to use it for evil and then thank God for it. But what I want them to appreciate, and what I want everyone to appreciate, is that when God is said to give you something, think about it. God is good, incapable of anything that is evil, incapable of anything that is bad. And so if you use something God gave you in the wrong way, you use something God gave you in an evil way, don't thank him for it, because he meant it for good. His character is good, holy. His will is objective, not subjective. His word is truth. It's not false. It's not a lie. His way is righteousness. So don't thank God for anything that disagrees with what he has revealed of himself, or you do God and yourself a disservice. God meant it for good. And thank God that when he sent Jesus, he meant it for good. And it isn't interesting that in Acts chapter 2, that basically Peter says the same thing in reference to the Jews that Joseph said in reference to his brothers. He said to his brothers, he said, as for you, you thought evil against me, That's what you thought. You thought evil against me. But God meant it for good, as it is this day, to save many people alive. We fast forward all the way to the first Pentecost when Jesus died. He had buried, he had rose again and ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, and those men were teaching. And Peter essentially says the same thing. He says, "You with wicked hands have slain the Son of God. You did this wickedly. You took and slew the Son of God. But you know what? You may have taken and slain the Son of God, but God meant it for good, as it is this day, to save many people alive." And the church began on that day when people responded to the gospel. Amen. They cannot be excused for being wicked. But thank God that he overruled their wickedness with something that was good, because that's what he intended toward humanity. And what God intended for good, he still intends for good. Amen. Jesus died, and man was guilty of being wicked, of being disobedient, of continuing in unbelief, of slaying the Son of God. Oh yeah, they were guilty, but God was meaning it for good toward the very ones who was persecuting him and who was putting him to death. So Jesus can stand, and he can stand on that cross, and he can say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when that first gospel sermon was preached, 3,000 was added to the kingdom. Church began that day, and that church is still here today. You're sitting among God's people, and if you're not a member of that church, you've never accepted the salvation that is offered through Christ Jesus, you can do that today. All you have to do is believe in him to be God's son, believe in his deity, repent of the sins that caused Jesus to have to go to that cross in the first place. Confess him with the mouth unto salvation, bring you right to the door. And then, my friends, you can go on through by submitting to baptism so that your sins can be washed away. The blood of the Lamb will cleanse you from all your sins and defilement. And you can rise out of that water, a new creature in Christ. You be faithful to him, because he's always going to be faithful to us. And when this life is over, and yes, one day it is going to end for us all, unless the Lord comes back before that happens, we all have to die. And don't you want to die in the Lord? We give you an opportunity to do just that, and it can start today, because God means it for good. All you have to do is respond. We give you an opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.